Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Club Junkie Podcast, the final podcast of 2022. It's crazy to think. I know it's a little late coming out this morning, but just the way this holiday week is gone, it's been a little interesting for me. But before we get into today's show, just want to let you know this episode brought to you by Titleist and the Titleist TSR Woods. The hours have been put in, the work has been done. As the moment approaches, you either fear it or you feel it. For Titleist, it's a moment filled with pure anticipation, the culmination of a relentless pursuit of speed in every form. So step up and settle in with confidence. The Titleist TSR is here. The new TSR drivers take everything that made TSI the number one driver on tour and pack even more performance into every head. From new face technologies to CG improvements and aerodynamic refinements, when everything moves the needle, you're playing at Titleist speed. So go to Titleist.com to learn more about TSR metals and to schedule your fitting today. Titleist TSR. Find your faster. So the last show of 2022. Kind of crazy to think about. It's one of those, the year's over just about. We got like a couple days here before New Year's, and then we start off 2023. And for the most of us, it means we write the date on a piece of paper or a document, and we write 2022 and have to scratch it out and write 2023. Not a whole lot really changes for most of us, but it is kind of a new year, and we'll have a, next month, I think we're going to have a ton of golf equipment news. It's going to be awesome. I'm super excited. Going back down to the PGA show this year. So that'll be interesting. I mean, just a whole lot going on in January, which is pretty wild. Pretty excited to see. We've got a group of people going to TaylorMade from the Golf DBX forums. We've got some people going to TaylorMade to try out some new products in January. So January is going to be chock full of just exciting stuff, man. I'm super fired up. So I've got actually, you can't see here, but I've got a box of brand new equipment, none of it which I can talk about yet, that I've got to get out and hit. It's just sitting here kind of staring me in the face. But I didn't get much time over this little holiday break, in a sense, because my holiday was pretty interesting. So just to give you the quick Cliff Notes version, up here in Detroit, we got like a crazy kind of windstorm on Friday last week. And right before, before Christmas, we lost power at my house. My furnace decided after this power outage to not come on. And my house was steadily dropping in terms of temperature. Had somebody come out, said, oh, the circuit board in it is bad. And mind you, this is a furnace that is 1 year old. Like to yesterday, I think the 28th was when it was of 2021 was when it was finally like fully installed, done. So a year old circuit breaker, supposedly bad, and think the power outage fried it, whatever. I had to shut off my water in my house, open faucets, everything. Because, they basically can't open, order a part even until, it's Christmas Eve and then Christmas Day. Like, there's no chance to order a part. So, and all of a sudden, Christmas Eve night, somebody, we were kind of joking about, what do you think the temperature of the house is going to be, whatever. My wife and I packed up basically our whole Christmas, took it over to my in-laws, who were very, very gracious to let us stay there for a few days. And, we left the house. It was 43 degrees after an overnight and all that. So Christmas Eve, it was 43 degrees in the afternoon. And then somebody, was just like, oh, what's your temperature of your house? So we pulled it up on the phone, and it was 51. It had gone up. And that made me a little worried. I was like, did the hot water tank explode? Is there just hot water, all over the basement heating the house? No, the furnace just came back on. No rhyme or reason. It was just running. So don't know how it's running. It's still running right now, which is amazing. Nobody knows how. Nobody knows why. It just is running now. So we still have to kind of figure a little bit of that out of why, but very interesting. So there's a lot of driving between my house and my in-law's house. And like I said, having Christmas, Christmas Day with my daughter and my wife and everything at their house instead of my house. And it was an interesting time. So haven't got a lot of time to go out and hit some new stuff yet. I hopefully will do that very, very shortly, but it was, very, very interesting. It was good. Other than that, it was stressful for my wife and I. Other than that, I think my daughter had a blast. Everything else was really good. Saw a lot of family. So I can't complain. But it was a little more stressful than it needed to be for my wife and I, that's for sure. But hopefully your holiday was better than that. Hopefully it was much more smooth. Hopefully you guys had had a lot of fun and were safe in your travels. I know travels were a nightmare, it looked like. So hopefully if you're traveling to and from wherever you're going, hopefully you get there safe, somewhat on time, all that. And yeah, we're excited for the new year. So new year, going to head down to the old parents' cottage and just hang out. We have nothing to do there. There's, I mean, it's too cold. It's not like we're going to be like hanging out down to the beach or the boat or whatever. But I mean, that stuff's all out of the water anyway. But just go down there, do something different, you know, sitting in four different, you know, a different box, sitting four different walls and hang out. So just doing that, nothing too exciting, nothing crazy. My days of wild parties on New Year's are long gone. I passed those up many years ago. I want to say it's been probably at least, and I want to say it's been a couple of years since I've probably seen midnight, to be honest with you. So most years I am out in bed by, you know, before that. So it's it'll be interesting. I'm pretty sure I'm not going to make it this year till midnight either. So as you count down the ball dropping, just know that I will probably be in bed sleeping away. So, but again, everybody be safe on New Year's. If you go out and if you celebrate, you're having, you know, go somewhere or whatever, please, you know, watch what you're doing in terms of driving and all that. Just, you know, be as safe as possible and start off the new year with, you know, on a positive note. And hopefully you have fun, you know, enjoy your time. Hopefully you see some friends, family, whatever you do. Just be safe about it and, you know, be ready to play some golf in 2023, you know, so you don't need anything, you know, deterring that. So I'm excited for next year in golf. This winter, I definitely have not. I really wanted to set a goal, try to like get in a slightly bit better golf shape and maybe fix a little bit of the swing flaws that I have. I have not done any of that. I know it's only January, so I still have, or it's only end of December, so I still have January, February, and for the most part, all March to do that. So hopefully I can get my butt in gear and start working on that, because I do have to fix some things to, you know, I wouldn't say enjoy golf more, because I did have fun playing golf this year, even if I didn't play amazing and my handicap kind of went up a little bit and then back down and it kind of rode a little bit of a roller coaster. I still had a lot of fun playing. I still, you know, as I've gotten older, enjoyed time playing with, you know, my dad and my brothers more and more, just to enjoy the time. So, and also just, you know, meeting a few people, playing randomly by myself and showing up at a course and just having some fun. So, been a good time, and I hope 2023 for my golf game is a little better in terms of the performance. Maybe the scores are slightly. I'm not looking to, you know, blow my handicap out of the water and knock it down to, you know, a crazy number. Not looking to do that. I would just like to be a little more consistent with the way I played. So it's just a slight goal of mine. I know I should probably have a few more resolutions going into next year, but that's about it at the moment. I don't really set a ton of resolutions, because honestly, I would break them all the time. They'd be toast in like a week. So like, you know, going to the gym every week and da-da-da and all these things. Nah, it's just not going to happen. It just never does with me. So hopefully, like I said, after here, I can, you know, work a little bit on that. And then, like I said, I've got the Golf Forever unit that I'm going to mess with and do some of that stuff, as well as, you know, like I said, hopefully go to the range and not only hit new equipment, but try to work on fixing some of the flaws that are, you know, hindering my swing. So, but today's episode is probably going to be a little shorter, just because, one, I've got off to a late start. As you probably know, I mean, everybody in the world, it seems, has some type of cold or sinus infection or sick. Daughter's not feeling amazing, so we kind of let her sleep, and she kind of slept in. So that means I kind of slept in and, you know, all that. So I'm getting off to a little bit of a late start, which it is what it is. I guess that's the way it goes for the last show of the year. But I'm going to do a show today. I'm going to kind of go over a few things that surprised me this year in terms of, you know, golf clubs, equipment, you know, stuff that kind of was going into the year, didn't expect, products that were much better than I expected. You know, it doesn't necessarily, they were, you know, gamers in the bag or whatever, but stuff that I hit that I was kind of surprised at, or pleasantly surprised at, of how well they played. So it's an, you know, interesting concept, and I'll be honest, it isn't one of the most original or compelling things, but when you get to the end of the year and it's cold and you don't have a golf course to go play on, you kind of get stuck with what you've got a bunch of product that you can't talk about because it's under embargo. this is kind of what you get to. So maybe next year I'll try to plan out some more stuff where I can have some more review type items in at the end of the year. But it's tough because by the end of the year you've kind of hit everything or a lot of things, and then all the new stuff that's coming out, you're starting to hit it, but you can't talk about it or anything like that. So so a few things that are surprised. I'm going to start off with kind of the first product that I thought was pretty interesting. I didn't think much of it when it came out. I remember getting the press release and all that, and then I guess I never really thought looking at like wedge shafts. You know, there's a bunch of options out there. I think a lot of people kind of take wedge shafts for granted. I think there's some that definitely offer different, you know, kind of ball flights and all that. And I know some claim to have like crazy high spin and all these things. And when you go and hit them, a lot of them may perform very similar. You know, like I said, the biggest thing I usually notice is kind of a launch difference between wedge shafts, whether it's a little bit higher, a little bit lower. Spin seems to always be pretty decent. You're always able to, you know, kind of hit the green and get the ball to stop. So the one that I was actually kind of interested in that I didn't think was actually going to do much, I thought it was going to be kind of the same shaft that you always hit, would be the Breakthrough Golf Technology ZNE or Zone Shaft. So the ZNE from BGT, I think I reviewed this probably a few months ago now. But the ZNE is basically BGT's kind of design. It's a graphite or carbon handle section. Goes into like an aluminum little coupler tip and then a steel tip section. So it's like a three-piece design and a shaft. And their whole thing is talking about stability. You know, much like everything they design, it's kind of like adding stability, making it a high-performance wedge shaft. And when I got them in, I kind of looked at them. I'm like, wow, they look kind of different. You know, they got this taper design and all that. They look pretty different. The handle section looks, you know, I'll call it looks kind of fat, but it's really not. And I said, man, that's kind of interesting. And, you know, but I don't, you know, is it going to actually play any different? You know, is it going to be anything really different than a regular wedge shaft? And was really surprised at how good it was. And it actually became kind of my gamer. Like, this is my 56 degree TaylorMade MG3 that I pretty much at the end of the year played all the time. And it made it in there, and I put it in here to test it, and it's never come out. I've never taken it out. And really the biggest thing that I was really shocked with, and I've got a 115 in the 50 degree, in the gap wedge. But the thing that was interesting was just how straight the ball went. And I think I noticed it first right on the range. You hit a few balls, and everything just went right at the target. I mean, when you hit a ball, it just went dead straight. It just went straight, consistently straight. Now, it did launch a little higher, so if you're a person who does hit a little bit of a higher ball flight or a higher ball and you're looking to lower it, this may not go as flat as you may want it to go, but overall, like, the consistency was insanely good. You know, like I said, everything went pretty much straight. It just dropped right over wherever you swung the club. Excuse me. Wherever you swung the club, that's where the ball went. And it just happened over and over and over again. Took it out to the course. Exactly the same. I mean, as long as you didn't hit it fat or thin, it pretty much went exactly where you swung the club. Like, it just, it was incredibly straight. It didn't have, like, not that you curve really, you know, a wedge shot, especially, you know, something like a 56. But the 56 and the 50 just were extremely consistent in terms of dispersion. You know, you could hit a bunch of shots out there and they would just kind of land in the same area. And they just, and they have a good feel to them. They do, you know, dampen a little bit of vibration, which is kind of nice, especially for somebody who practices on mats a lot, where you have any type of, like, you know, injury or anything like that, you know, a little wrist or shoulder or back injury or whatever. It does reduce some of that vibration. But I mean, partial shots to full shots, every kind of in there, it did seem to add some stability and some consistency there that I just didn't think it would. You know, it's a wedge shaft. You're hitting these little partial shots. You're hitting these little, you know, 70 yarders, 100 yard shots. Like, you know, what's really going to be the difference in these? And it did make a legitimate difference that I saw out there on the course. Now, in terms of, you know, hitting it on a launch monitor or whatever, I didn't go that far at that time. I just kind of started hitting stuff on launch monitors and giving some numbers. But just in terms of play out on the course and on the range, it just was a really stable and consistent shaft that I just didn't expect to be that way. I kind of expected it to be kind of like every other shaft and you know, hit some decent wedge shots with. But, you know, everything from the sand to, you know, kind of open face shots, all that, it just really performed well. And it was one of those things that just one of the shafts that just kind of shocked me. I didn't expect it to be as good as it is, and at least for my game. And I know a lot of people will say, well, I didn't hit it, and I didn't hit it great. That's totally fine. I mean, golf equipment's that way. There's stuff out there that you'll hit that you don't, you know, that you don't hit well, that I hit well, and vice versa. And there's products out there that are work that just don't work for everybody. And that's why there's so much equipment out there, because some stuff is going to work for you, some stuff isn't. Nothing wrong with that. It's all still, you know, good products. So, but the BGT Zone or ZNE shaft, the wedge shafts, were just really shocking of how well and they worked for me and how well they performed. And like I said, it was something that I didn't really expect to hit, you know, expect to notice a difference. And I really did. And so far they're in the wedges. They're still in the wedges here. Going into next year, whatever wedge I play, I'll probably pull these out and put them in the next set if I don't play these MG3s again. I don't know what I'm going to play this year. The MG3s are actually still in pretty good shape, so they're probably going to start off the season in the bag as the gamers, and then we'll have to see what comes after that. But for the start of 2023, these will be in the bag. So I don't think there's a lot of new wedges coming out for the beginning. the beginning of the year. I don't think there's anything wildly new coming out, at least that I've been aware of. So these will probably stay in the bag for the beginning of the year, and then we'll see as the year goes on what comes out, what's new, and if anything, we'll beat these boys. But yeah, the BGT, Breakthrough Golf Technologies, ZNE shafts, I'd say, you know, definitely go try them. I mean, I know they're not cheap, you know, in terms of per shaft. I think they're like $200 or something like that. They're not cheap, I'll admit that. But I did, like I said, I did notice a difference with it, and I think some other golfers have. I know I see a lot of, I think they're 179. So sorry, I was wrong, 179. But they're not cheap, but, you know, like I said, I think they did offer a little different performance, and it kind of were something that that I was shocked at. So if you get a chance to try them, I would say go try them. And if they work for you, great. If not, hey, that happens. But yeah, if you check out BreakthroughGolfTech.com and check out the ZNE. But it was probably one of my bigger shocks of the year because, like I said, just didn't think it was going to do much in a wedge. You know, wedge, you just don't hit, it's not like a driver. Not like you're swinging it faster and, you know, it's got this longer travel and, you know, all needs all this stability and all this stuff. You know, it's pretty short travel, short shots, all that. But definitely noticed something that was pretty interesting. So that's my first one there. Let me wet the old whistle. I'm not going to classify myself as sick, but I do have like, I don't feel necessarily congested, but like in my head, I can feel there's either some type of pressure or whatever, which is probably the start of what my daughter has, which is just like the leaky runny nose. But hopefully, drinking a bunch of like emergency and stuff like that, hopefully I can fight it off before it hits me. The next kind of surprising piece in my arsenal this year is that the Bettinardi stayed in the bag all year. The BB8W, which I have since taken all the paint fill out of. I know that the camera's not going to like really focus on this bad boy. I don't, again, if you're watching this on YouTube, but yeah, if you the BB8W from Bettinardi, this is the 2022 one. I'm kind of shocked that it stayed in the bag. To be honest, I just thought with everything else that, you know, was coming out between, you know, all the stuff from Lab, all the different mallets from, like, you know, TaylorMade and Callaway and all these guys, that this would stay in the bag. I thought for sure at some point it would get knocked out, you know, with something else out there. I've always been a guy who's kind of been more of a mallet player anyway, and I figured with all these mallets, even with the little slant necks and stuff like that, that something would take its place at some point. You know, I played the 2021 version of this, and then, you know, when this came out, I immediately switched because sound and feel of the 2022 model was so much better. They moved to 303 stainless on these, but they offered a little deeper milling on the face, and that deeper milling, I think, definitely helped with the sound and feel. The ball had a good roll on it, but it was just overall a really good putter. They also shortened up a little bit from heel to toe, so it had just a little bit more compact look than last year's model. Overall, I loved it. As soon as I hit a putt with it, I immediately pulled the, I've got a Fujikura MC Putter Shaft in it. Immediately pulled it out of the 2021 head, put in the 2022 head, threw it in my bag, and that was it. So it was the putter that I played with pretty much all year. And I tried a bunch of other things, tested out a bunch of other things, and it just always stayed in the bag. I never really took it out. I did move to actually like a Super Stroke Pistol GT 1.0 grip, which I was kind of surprised I moved to that, but it did kind of help take away a little bit of that right miss or left miss when I miss the right-hand influence and left miss. It took away a little bit of that, but it was just one of those putters that I figured after, you know, because for me, a lot of putting, I mean, like most amateurs, I'm a streaky putter. When I'm putting well, I'm making putts. But it's easy to go away, and the timing and all that stuff, and it just goes away pretty easily. And a lot of times I'll, you know, make putter switches just to try to get that honeymoon effect back. And with this, I still didn't. I just kept playing it, and for the most part, putted decent with it. I wouldn't say I, you know, had the best putting year of my life or anything like that, but I putted really well with it. And again, I thought it would have its time. Something would come off. The honeymoon, you know, phase would wear off. I'd put something else in the bag, and then I would just kind of forget about it. And unfortunately, but it just never happened. I just kept putting with it and kept playing with it. And it, you know, it had its times where it did get benched and it lost some playing time for a week or so. But it always found its way back. And I would always take it and get to the putting green, make a few putts, feel confident with it, and there you go. It just would go right in the bag. So I think I played with it. You know, I go on my guys' golf trip with everybody in the beginning of August. I think I brought two putters with me. I don't think the other putter ever went in the bag. I think I played this the whole time. I don't think I made any club switches that week. But basically played this all week. But like I said, I mean, like the Mez 1 Max, as that came out, came really close. That was is a very close contender. And then honestly, unfortunately, the Toulon Chicago that I loved so much last year, and really liked the new version, because again, I think they improved the sound and feel on the new one. That's the club that really got pushed to the side and kind of went into one of the bags in the corner, and really didn't get a lot of playing time after that. So, but this Bettinardi, the BB8 wide, I've been a big fan. I like, if I'm going to play a blade, I want a blade with some meat on it. I want it to be a little wider flange. I want it to be a little chunkier. I don't like looking down at the super narrow, tiny blades that some companies make. They just don't make me feel like there's a lot there. This makes it feel like it's, you know, a little heavier, like it's got some mass to it. Like, you know, it just, it gives me a little bit more confidence. I also like the slightly longer sight line on the flange compared to some of the narrower models. But overall, just a great putter, just a solid blade. And I've been really happy with it. And it'll be interesting because it doesn't look, at least at the moment, there's not a new version of this for 2023. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, starting off the year, this will probably be in the bag. Does it stay in the bag? There's the big question. I wouldn't call it $1 million question, but does it stay in the bag this year? It'll probably start off the year in the bag. Will it stay and be there forever? I don't know. I also need to see about sending it off to get it kind of refinished. I think it'd be kind of cool to do something else with it. I mean, the black charcoal finish is pretty cool. It does show a little bit of fingerprints, more than you would think. Those little oils and all that kind of stay on it more than I thought. But I think there's some cool companies out there that could do some pretty cool things with it. So I might pop the shaft off and send the head off to somebody for maybe a cool refinish and see what we can do with it. But it's a putter that, again, I thought this year would finally get beat. Something else would take it off, especially at the end of the year, and nothing has so far. So it's still the gamer, still in the bag, and we'll see how far it goes into 2023. I don't have a ton of confidence that'll make it super, super far in 2023, but you never know. You know, with putters and certain clubs, putters, three woods, things like that, hybrids, when you find the really good one, it's tough to sometimes let it go. It's tough to find something to replace it. So we'll see how far it goes, but I don't have a ton of confidence that it's going to make it through all of next year. But if it does, that'll be pretty amazing. So Bettinardi's BB8W or the 8 wide, very surprising that it stayed in my bag as long as it did, because like I said, I didn't think it really would. So the next item, I got like three more, I think I got three more. I know this is, like I said, probably not going to be the longest podcast in the world, but all good. You guys probably have other things to do and are traveling, so probably not don't want to listen to me yap that long anyway. The next thing that surprised me in terms of clubs is the fact that I put a 7-wood in the bag. The other thing that's amazing about it is I put a 7-wood in the bag, and I've been a hybrid guy forever. I mean, I have no problem admitting that I can't hit a 3-iron. And, 4-iron, I don't even typically play much of the set 4-iron anyway. I play something different, like a utility iron. But the hybrid, I thought, was for sure in my bag. And then I got a 7-wood, started to hit it. And I hit it when I got fit at PXG, and I hit it really well, and I really liked it. And I said, wow, this thing's super easy to hit. And then I put it in the bag and hit it, and I was a little worried about it because I do have to say a lot of courses I play, I've got hybrid kind of set up to play off the tee on certain par fours that either have some trouble or they kind of really tighten down in the landing area, whatever. And the 7-wood's great because it goes straight up in the air, it comes straight down, it lands really soft, but it doesn't quite go as far. It goes a similar distance, but then the hybrid can have a little bit of roll, especially off the tee, where this just kind of hit and stop. So I was a little worried, would I play it much? Because off the tee, I'm probably going to lose a little bit of distance. And nothing crazy, because, I mean, it's not rock hard here. We're not getting 30 yards of roll or anything like that. But I'm going to lose a little bit, and is that going to kind of change how I play some of those par fours and things like that? And it ended up not. Like, I ended up finding that when I struck it really well, like dead center, I would pretty much be within the same, I would pretty much be in the same landing area as I would if I hit hybrid. And yes, if I hit hybrid absolutely 100% flush, maybe I'd be a little farther up, but I don't think it ever changed really, ever changed anything really more than like maybe like half a club in terms of distance. I mean, at St. Clair Shores, hole number 3, you got to hit basically a 220-yard shot, and then you got about 100 in. But you got to hit it out straight. There's a creek that runs in front of it, so you got to hit it out, and then you got to aim right because the thing kind of doglegs right, hit it over the green. And if you hit it too far, it rolls through the fairway into some trees, and 1, good luck finding it. 2, if you do find it, you have 0 shot. You're just punching out back into the fairway. And I was kind of worried about, where this thing would go. And, it's kind of a shot that you kind of have to hit well. And if we're playing it all year, hit it really well. Down at Bella Vista, what is it, hole 3? Well, I guess they're both hole 3s, which is pretty interesting. Oh, no, 4. Hole 4, you got to hit it through a chute of trees to a pretty wide open landing area. If you go too far, it really tightens up. And that was the one I was kind of worried about, because if you don't hit a great shot off the tee, it's a super narrow approach shot into the green. There's trees just all along the right side. There's trees kind of on the left side that they bow out a little bit to give you some space, but the cart path's over there. So if you miss it left, it'll hit the cart path and bounce into the woods and be gone. So it really takes like 2 good shots to get it on the green there. And then the green is tiered, but that's a whole other problem. And I was worried that one, because if you don't hit a great shot, you can be stuck with like a 6-iron into that green. And a 6-iron into that green is not fun. Just because if you don't hit one well, it kind of falls short. We usually play in the morning. There's 0 roll, so the dew catches it. And it's just overall just a really tough second shot. And I was worried that this was going to leave me a little bit more going into that green, even when I hit it well. And it ended up not being the case. And also on there, kind of found I could hit, I had the option to hit 7-wood. If it wasn't, anything, I could sometimes even hit 3 and get it down. If I hit a good shot, it could still avoid the tightening area a little bit and still have a good shot in. So, but the 7-wood worked really well. I was able to hit it off the turf, hit it off the tee, really versatile. And it's just super easy to launch in the air. It lands really soft. It was just overall really good. And honestly, it's the other thing too is when you set it down, at least this PXG one, when you set it down, it doesn't look closed. It almost looks open. I had a couple others that I've hit throughout the year, hit the new TSR one, or the TSR 2. In 7-wood, same thing, didn't look closed or anything like that. And just overall, I'm really impressed with the 7-wood, and it knocked out, 2 hybrids that I thought were really, really good. One of them being the Cobra King Tech, which I thought was one of probably the better underrated hybrids of the year. And then, or really the past 2 years, I think they've been making it 2 years now, or at least this year. Super underrated. And then an Apex UW, which, I mean, you guys know the UW has been kind of a cult hit for a lot of better players out there who don't really hit hybrids well. It's kind of like an in-between a fairway and a hybrid, and it knocks both those out and has been super consistent in my bag. So I don't think you're going to see a 7. With this one here, the shocking thing is, will this Gen 5 7-wood stay in the bag? It could. Like I think I said on the one of my podcasts, it may be the one club that has a chance of staying in the bag all next year, just because when you get comfortable with something like this, it's tough to get rid of it. But for sure, I'm going to try a few more 7-woods, and there's definitely going to be a 7-wood probably of some sort in my bag next year. I just don't see a hybrid going in there. The interesting thing will be, what do I do after it? But right now, like I said, there will probably be a 7-wood of some sort in my bag from now on. I just don't see where I would switch it out and play something different at the moment. So we'll see when new clubs come out. I mean, there's going to be new hybrids and new fairways and new kind of stuff coming out next year. I'm going to definitely try these things, but at the moment, I think a 7-wood is in my bag to stay for a while. So, especially as a guy who doesn't hit it super, super high, being able to hit it high, let it land soft, and with pretty much minimal effort or trying, you know, having to try to hit a high ball or anything like that, works out really well. The final club in my 2022 end of the year surprises is pretty much something brand new that I'm kind of shocked that I've liked it as much as I have, but I have, and that is the new Ping I Crossover. So the I Crossover is Ping's utility iron. They make it in a handful of lofts there. And this year it did come with an adjustable hosel. So you have the ability to change out, you know, the loft. So they go an 18 to 20 and a 22 and a half. And then you can, you know, alter that by like 1.5 degrees. With the hosel, this is the 4-iron here. I'm playing it 1 degree up, so it's playing 23.5 at the standard length of 39. And it basically is supposed to replace a 9-wood, which for me, you know, is a 4-iron. And this was one of those things where I went to review it when it first came out, this with the I-230 irons. And when I first set it down, I didn't love the look of it. It has a decent amount of offset to it, and I thought, well, that probably won't be anything that goes in my bag. I don't love the look. The black on it's cool. The top line's all great. It just had a lot of offset. And I was like, well, you know, that's fine. I get it. And then I hit it. And the first handful of shots of the range were just almost effortless to get in the air. I don't think I'd ever hit a 4 utility that high and that consistent. And then I took it to the course. And even on bad swings, bad days, able to hit it really well. So very shocking that something like this went in the bag so quickly. It was just one of those things that after like the first couple shots, you just forgot about the offset and it just became something you became comfortable with. I think one of the last rounds I played over at St. Clair Shores, hit a terrible drive. And I had like on the whole 9th hole, which is like 300 and some, I mean, it's a short hole, but if you hit like rip driver and you hit it down the left side, there's a pond up near the thing, so you can't really just go up and just haul off and hit driver unless you know you're not going to go left. You can hit it right and have a little bit of space. You may have to play it off 10T or something like that if you if you spray it a little further right, but hit a terrible drive, had like 200 and something in, and just sitting in the rough, hit this thing, knowing I probably wouldn't get it to the green, but fine, I'll get it up in front, be able to, you know, chip it on and, you know, have at least a putt for par, and, you know, at worst made bogey. Hit this bad boy to, like, basically the front fringe. Was shocked how far it went. It went high in the air, landed soft. It was just, I mean, everything about it was just really, really good. So off the tee, off the turf, just a club that's super versatile. And, yes, I know it may not be the most amazing feeling club or the most amazing sounding, and it does have some offset, but it frickin' works. So it definitely works. I've been hitting really well. I'm super. I'm super impressed with it. It easily. I was playing the Tour Edge Tie Utility. I was playing the Mizuno Fly High Pro or Mizuno Pro Fly High. Both those, and it was like immediately this one in the bag. And those that are there, I mean, are great. The Mizuno, you know, the Mizuno Pro Fly High. That one there. I mean, if you're a player, hits it off the tee, it's an absolute cannon. The Tie Utility launches just a little bit flatter, but again, same thing, goes a long way. All that. They're great clubs. This I just hit better. I don't know what it is. Maybe it is a little offset. Maybe I need a little offset in my life to get me where I need to go. But hit this thing extremely well right out of the gate. And I've it's rare that you become comfortable with a club so quickly, at least for me. And just something that became really comfortable really fast. And so far it's been in the bag. And we'll see. I've been notioning, you know, throwing around the notion of, do I look for like a hybrid to go four iron instead of a utility iron, just for something that's easier to launch, whatever. The only issue is I get into like hybrids at that like 22, 23, 24 degrees, whatever it is. But around that, you just see so much of the face, and the look is just not something I truly love at that loft. So we'll see. But I'm going to definitely try a few things, see if it can help. But for right now, the crossover, the pin cross, eye crossover is in the bag. It's been really good, and I have no notion of taking it out at the moment. It does have the Tour 2.0, 85 gram. In just a stiff flex, and it's fairly stout, like it feels pretty good, but it matches my irons in terms of you know, I play stiff flex in the irons, but just like I said, super easy to hit, much more forgiving than most four irons I've hit, and it seems to launch a little higher as well. So if you're somebody looking for a little help in the four iron area, and you're willing to look, you're willing to look beyond the offset on it, the eye crossover it performs exceptionally well. So again, one of those things I just never really thought, especially from the first look, I was like, there's no way. This isn't going to go. Isn't going in the bag. Too much offset. I don't like the look. And then you hit it and you go, well, it's in the bag. So the final thing that has kind of impressed me at the end of the year is the Full Swing Kit launch monitor. And when I first got this thing, we hit it, and it was pretty good. We hit it in the winter. It was pretty good. And then they had a few versions of the software that weren't necessarily amazing, and there were some things that I thought, you know, it lost a little bit of accuracy in certain places. And then the updates of this summer or this year that they put out have made it really, really good. And it's really consistent. I think for the money, it's tough to beat in terms of, you know, what you get. I mean, you get club data, you get ball data. I do have to say there are a few things that I wish it had still, and I know they're always updating stuff, but I think it's a good launch monitor. I've started to use it more and more. Pretty much every, you know, time I go to the range, I bring this with me, and every time that I've given you guys any bit of numbers off clubs I've hit, it has been with this, and I feel pretty confident that I'm giving you numbers, you know, from this. I feel pretty confident that they're accurate, you know, like, I mean, it, you know, people sit there and say, oh, it's, you know, not TrackMan, whatever. We hit this against a pretty expensive monitor, and at times I thought this was more accurate in terms of carry distance and stuff like that than the, you know, $25,000-$30,000 monitor was, because there were some readings that we got from that were not necessarily that amazing, especially when you knew you were lasering stuff and hitting it and seeing what the actual numbers were. This seemed to be actually more accurate in some places. But overall, I'm really impressed with it. I'm pretty confident that when you look back and you see the numbers on there, it is, you know, what it says it is there. I do wish there were a few things about it that were a little bit better. I wish they had, out of all the data points, I wish they had descent angle, which I don't see that they have on there. And then also I wish you could compare... I wish you could compare clubs a little bit easier. So you can go in and you can compare, but you have to look at like each metric at a single time. So you got to look at carry, and then you can look at carry for all the clubs you hit. And then you can look at, you know, total distance and then spin and, you know, launch angle and whatever. I wish you could do kind of select some clubs, you know, like especially for me, like if I hit, you know, a couple 7 irons next to each other, a couple 4 irons or whatever it is, drivers, then you could select those and see a graph that showed all that data, you know, side by side, kind of like TrackMan and Foresight and those guys. They don't have a way to graph it yet. I know I've talked to them about it, and they're definitely looking at different things to, you know, to do with their software and make things you know, a little more, a little better, and improve them. So hopefully that'll be something that comes because, you know, as true gearheads, we want to compare two different shafts or two different clubs or whatever it is. And that is the only thing that's not super, super easy to do at the moment. But overall, really impressed with the unit. I thought, you know, for the price, which is, I mean, it's not cheap. Don't get me wrong. It's $5,000. But compare, you know, for what you get in terms of accuracy and a lot of the, they've just, you know, they've added a bunch of stuff in the latest update with some indoor use and things like that. Normalization and all those things which are coming. They're really adding a lot of features every time they do a software update, and those features don't cost anything. I mean, they're part of, you know, the plan in a sense. So it's pretty cool that they add all that stuff in. It's pretty small. It actually can fit in a golf bag if you want to slide it in the big pocket in there. But overall, I think it's a really solid solid monitor. And like I said, there's a couple things that I hope they add in for next year to be able to kind of, you know, compare clubs more easily. But I know that there's some people out there now even doing, you know, some fittings with these and all that. They're starting to show up on the OEM side as well. So these guys are doing some stuff right, and it's pretty cool. I know they've added some of the simulation stuff. I think these are E6 compatible. And all that. So, I mean, there's a lot of things you can do with this. And if you're, you know, a guy who, like me, who's stuck indoors, or, you know, you're going to the ranges, you know, the domes, even that, it's got modes for long range indoor and things like that. So a lot of this stuff is pretty cool, and they're adding more and more. So, you know, the Full Swing kit has been a thing that I've been kind of surprised that I've been using so much, because I was never... I've never been a huge launch monitor guy for the most part in terms of, I mean, yes, I've used them, whatever, but for me, I don't need to sit there and just look at numbers all day and say, oh, this, for me, it's what works on the course. But it is kind of nice to have this thing on the range and be able to, especially in the winter, be able to say, you know, instead of just trying to visually look down a snowy range and say, oh, this one went farther, to be able to look and say, hey, this is, you know, this one launched differently. This one went, you know, here's the comparison of two clubs. And it's kind of nice to be able to do that and show some numbers and be pretty confident that the numbers you're that I'm giving to you guys are accurate enough that I can, you know, reliably stand behind them and say, yes, this is what I was hitting. So the Full Swing kit was a pretty cool item that, like I said, I've started using much, much more, and I didn't think I really would, which is pretty cool. So like I said, a couple things I would like to see, and hopefully some of that stuff gets added for next year. It'd be pretty exciting. So I think that's all I've got for this week. I know it's kind of an interesting show, a little shorter, but hey, I know you guys are probably on your way to go, you know, do some stuff, get ready for the new year, and I don't want to hold you back from that. So again, everybody travel safe, whatever you're doing for New Year's, whatever, just be safe, and let's jump into 2023 to be able to play some golf, hit some new golf equipment, and I think it's going to be a cool year when it comes to gear. So I'm super excited to see what's next. Again, if you follow me on Instagram at Club Junkie Pod, and if you could, you know, wherever you're, if you're watching this on YouTube or wherever you subscribe to the podcast, if you could subscribe, like it, whatever, that would be just absolutely awesome. It just flat out helps the algorithm, helps us grow, and the more I grow, the more stuff I probably have access to. So, you know, I know there's always stuff that people ask, and I'm like, I've never hit it. If this show can get a little bigger, get a little, you know, a few more views, whatever, I probably have no problem getting some of that stuff to hit. So excited. But like I said, if you're following at Club Junkie Pod, again, have a great new year. Excited to see you guys in 2023. And I'm probably going to mess up my first show by calling it 2022 or something like that. But hopefully you guys have a good one. Be safe, and we'll talk to you next year.